It's now 17 after the hour of 8 o'clock here at Tangy 96.5. Time now for Talking the Tea, Part 1, being brought to you by Douglas Kent Jewelers, now carrying fingerprint jewelry, a pendant with your child's fingerprint on one side and their initials on the other side. A great gift for a new mom, Douglas Kent Jewelers in the Hobby Lobby Shopping Center right here in Hammond. And it's time now for North Oaks Health Notes, and we're introducing you to another brand new doctor over at North Oaks, Antonio Tony Dennis, MD, North Oaks ENT and Allergy. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Good, good, good. So you're joining the ENT crew over there, huh?
Yes, sir, along with Dr. LaCour and Dr. Jacques Pelletier.
That's right, who we've had here on the radio, Jeff LaCour, personal friend of mine as well. So I'll ask you some personal questions about Jeff after you get off the air here in just a few moments.
And, sounds good.
See how his working habits are over there at North Oaks Health Notes, which I hear are wonderful, of course. Good friend of mine. Anyway, Dr. Dennis, I want you to actually we'll start off as usual. We just find out a little bit about your background. Where'd you study? Where you came from? Family? And I understand you're from the Bayou Country, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm from St. James Parish. That's a rural area between Donaldsonville and Vashon, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the youngest of four children. I completed my undergrad work at Dillard University in New Orleans, and then I started medical school at LSU in New Orleans. Shortly after Hurricane Katrina, I moved to Shreveport and completed medical school there. Then I returned here, back to South Louisiana, enrolled in residency training, which mostly was in Baton Rouge, although it was the LSU-New Orleans program. We spent most of our time in Baton Rouge.
So how did you hook up with Jeff? How did Dr. LaCour, how did you get in touch with him? Or did y'all go to school together? Or
I met Jeff as an intern at the LSU residency training program.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fellow doing an otology fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
We just began talking about life after residency,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about the wonderful practice he had here at North Oaks,
mm-hmm.
Along with Jacques Pelletier. I had a meeting with both of them, and then I decided that North Oaks would probably be a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm. So here you are.
Yes, sir.
At North Oaks. Now, how long have you been there?
At North Oaks?
Yes.
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yes,
two
sir.
Weeks. So you're brand new.
Yes, sir.
All right, now we're here to talk specifically about hearing and hearing loss. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, what causes hearing loss? I mean, we're born with a good set of ears. Of course, lots of times you hear about kids, you know, who are cranky when they're first born, and all of a sudden you it's time to maybe put tubes in the kid's ears, and then from there, do kids get those tubes changed out, or is that in there permanently?
No. Tubes normally stay in between 9 to 12 months in a child. In adults, sometimes it can stay a little bit longer, up to 18 months, but generally the tubes come out. There are different types of ear tubes, and it depends on the reason. If
mm-hmm.
it's just the fluid behind the eardrum or a lot of ear infections, we'll put the tubes that come out.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a separate type of tube where the kid have just these chronic infections, and this
mm-hmm.
is their second or third or even fourth set of
yes.
PE tubes, we'll put a tube that stays in a little bit longer. So
to help relieve the pressure behind
the eardrum, or even just continuously drain the middle ear, particularly the other tube, the eustachian tube,
mm-hmm.
is not functioning.
All right. Now, let's specifically go to hearing loss.
Yes,
how do we lose hearing?
Hearing loss is a very common problem. There's a number of things that can cause hearing loss. The most common reason for hearing loss is age-related hearing loss. In the elderly population,
right.
we just kind of continuously lose our hearing. Also, there's noise-induced hearing loss. If you're exposed to a lot of loud noises, particularly at a younger age, you'll begin to see your hearing fade as you get a little bit older.
So wearing earphones for 40 years, I should be starting to lose my hearing soon?
Yep.
Or is it not necessarily in all people?
Right. Well, you just have to be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the hearing is not extremely loud or you're wearing some sort of hearing protection, you can have a good hearing as you get a little bit older. But
mm-hmm.
if you're exposed to a lot of
light. Is there a certain age where we start losing our hearing?
Well, there are some studies that looked at that. And most of them are saying, you know, at 70 years old, about 50% of the population have some sort of hearing loss. And that number goes up as we get a little bit older.
And is it usually just in one ear, or is it both ears starting to lose the hearing?
So that's a very good topic. Generally, if you're induced, if you have noise-induced hearing loss or age-related hearing loss, which we call presbycusis, it'll be symmetrical. In both ears, you'll have about the same amount of hearing loss. And then there's a separate entity, what we call asymmetrical hearing loss, where the ears are not hearing at the same level. And that's a little bit more complicated. And then, you know, we like to do different types of tests, particularly imaging studies, to look at what reasons you're having asymmetrical hearing loss. And that's a very complicated one.
Now, can medications also cause hearing loss as well, or
absolutely,
some sort of infection?
Absolutely. Something just as common as aspirin can cause ringing in the ear and sometimes even bother.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Aspirin.
Aspirin. Generally not the 81 milligram that your PCP prescribes, but if you go up to the higher dosages, like 325, you can certainly get a lot of ringing in the ear and sometimes even temporary hearing loss. And once you stop the medication, it'll come back.
Okay.
But other types of medication, particularly chemo drugs, particularly cisplatin, a drug that we like to use in the head and neck, is closely associated with sensory neural hearing loss. And that type of hearing loss is permanent.
Now my vision of getting my ears checked, speaking of ringing in the ears, is a tuning fork that's actually put near the ear for the ringing in the ears, or for us to pick up the ringing in the ears. Was that one form of being diagnosed?
Absolutely. In addition to taking a good history, we like to use little devices like a tuning fork. And we'll simply place it right in the middle of your forehead or sometime on a bridge of your nose and vibrate it by striking my elbow or my knee or whatever I like to strike.
So why do you put it on your forehead? It seems like you would put it near the ear.
Right. It is two different types of tests you could do with the tuning fork. The first one, we're trying to figure out which ear is actually hearing a little bit better.
So that's why you put it center.
That's why you put it in the center.
Okay.
But sometimes, and there's two types of hearing loss, and we can talk a little bit about that. But it just depends on the type of hearing loss. Sometimes the ears can even trick you. Whereas if you have a conductive hearing loss, which means something is going on with the bones of hearing, or you could have a wax buildup, or something that's in the ear canal, or even something that's going on with the eardrum, if I put the tuning fork right in the center of your head, actually the ear that has a conductive loss, you'll hear it a little bit louder, which is a little bit strange. It's kind of like if you put your finger in your ear canal right now and start to speak, the ear that has the finger in it is actually going to sound a little bit louder to you because you're causing a conductive hearing loss.
And it's almost like you're hearing it inside of your head.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a little bit different. And then there's sensory neural hearing loss. And that's when you have a problem with the nerve of hearing or something is going on with the inner ear.
Now, is there treatment for this? Or what are the different types of treatment for this?
And it's actually due to the type and the source of hearing loss. If you have just a nerve loss or a sensory neural hearing loss that's associated with age, then a hearing aid is probably the most appropriate treatment for that. If it's related to noise, then you might want to start using earplugs or some type of hearing protection. If the hearing loss is due to medication, again, that's a little bit more complicated. It's sometimes reversible if you stop the medication. But when the loss is a conductive loss, like we talked about just a second ago, sometimes a surgery could be very beneficial to give you a little hearing boost.
Is that what I see, like implanted in people's heads, just right behind the ear, just a little bitty round circle or square or something?
Yes,
like
sir,
that?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's called a BAHA, a bone-anchored hearing aid. And that's very useful, particularly if you have one ear that's not hearing very well, or what we call unilateral hearing loss, or if you just can't reconstruct the eardrum or the bones of hearing, sometimes a little surgery by putting a little pin that kind of just vibrate a little bit for you, it works very, very, very well.
Using the same reasoning as far as the bone
exactly
that you were talking about earlier?
Exactly. All of the hearing is conducted via your
through
bone.
That.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, hearing also has a lot to do with, or not hearing, but your ears mm-hmm. have a lot to do with balance, people keeping their balance.
Absolutely.
Just walking, you know, and of course, some refer to it as vertigo.
Yeah.
So what is vertigo exactly?
Vertigo is a very complicated topic. When I see a patient and we talk about vertigo, I like to categorize whether or not we're talking about vertigo or disequilibrium. So it's a very
That's
broad.
Different, vertigo and disequilibrium?
Yes, sir.
Is different.
Yes, okay. sir. Yes, sir. It's a very broad. When we talk about vertigo, it's a very broad term that describes the sensation of spinning or having your surroundings spin around you. And it's often associated with nausea and vomiting. However, disequilibrium is just a sensation of being off balance. Sometimes it's characterized by frequent falls, particularly sometimes even in a specific direction. And then you have lightheadedness, which is probably the most common of the three. Mm-hmm. That's when you're feeling faint or like you're about to pass out.
It's like when you're bending over and you stand up real quickly.
Exactly. And you hear it again in the elderly population where you're laying down and something may alarm the person or they may have to use the restroom in the middle of the night. And they'll kind of rush to the bathroom. Sometimes mm-hmm. they'll feel very lightheaded. And it's just a blood pressure issue where they know that sometimes they have to just sit on the side of the bed for a little while mm-hmm. and then stand and then proceed to walk.
Gotcha. So what is the treatment for vertigo?
it just depends on the different types of vertigo. And when we talk about vertigo, there's really two major categories. We like to break it down into a peripheral vertigo, which is your inner ear. And then there's a central vertigo when, for some reason, there's a disconnect between your inner ear and your brain kind of processing everything dealing with balance. So the treatment of vertigo, again, is just due to the cause. If it's something very common, like benign positional vertigo, sometimes in a clinic we can do different maneuvers and procedures and with very high success kind of rid you of that vertigo feeling.
Completely?
Completely, yes, sir.
Cool.
Yes, sir. And then there's different exercises you can do afterwards to help you with your balance. But
an exercise routine?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We call it the Brandt Dornhoff exercises, and it's just an exercise routine that kind of gets your brain integrated with your inner ear and help you strengthen the correlation between the two.
Ah, so kind of strengthening your inner core?
Yeah.
Keeping everything in line?
Yes, sir. Like it's very similar to strengthening your inner core.
All right.
And then we have the last thing I want to just touch on. We do have the our vestibular program at North Oaks where we have some trained vestibular therapists, and they're awesome. They really help integrate the whole medical issue on our side or even surgery on our side and helping the patient recover through the rehab program. Hmm.
So now, is that all done through your office? Is that where it starts?
Yes, sir. We actually refer. Well, we see the patient in our office, and then we refer them to our vestibular therapist mm-hmm. in the rehab center, and we have awesome results coming from that program.
All right. So, what people want to find out more information about this, you can contact North Oaks ENT. And what's y'all's phone number there?
985-230-2630.
Okay.
That's in Hammond. And then we have our Livingston Parish location, our multi-specialty group. And the number there is 225-686-4960.
4960. All right. If you want to find out more, you can get in touch with ENT, Dr. Tony Dennis from North Oaks ENT and Allergy right here at North Oaks in Hammond. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Johnny.
Great meeting you, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yes, sir.
Right here on the Johnny in the Morning Show on the Tangent 96.5 WTGG. That's our Talk on the T program this morning with Dr. Tony Dennis from North Oaks, and, of course, our Talk on the T program being brought to you by Douglas Kent Jewelers. We'll be back. News headlines coming up next.